Hello and welcome to Last Time On. This is the podcast for people who want to watch all this prestige television, but who's got time for it?
You know I don't.
I don't have time for it, but it's time to record, and it's time for me to record. It's time for you to record.
Oh,
me
no.
Record.
No.
No. No.
Vic,
no. No. Vic, no. No. No.
Record. You
no.
Record.
No. No. Please.
God.
Please. No. Please. Please. No.
Why? Hey everybody, welcome back. Why, to Vic? Last Time On.
Why?
I'm Victor. That was me. Send your hate mail to me, not Jafar or Ben.
I'm Jafar.
I am defeated. And I am Ben.
Maybe it'd be all funner right if we said I'm the former and then you said I'm the latter. Do you want to try that? See if that's maybe funnier.
Up the long ladder? That doesn't work here. You're not Irish, are you, Ben?
I am.
It's fine.
Okay.
Benjamin David Curley.
A deed.
You say it like that.
Well, with Benjamin David, when my parents named me, a bunch of their friends were like, "We didn't know you were Jewish." And it's just like, not even a little bit.
Ah, interesting. See, so we all got our drink of choice here. I just got a smoothie delivered from, what the hell was the name of this place? Tropical Smoothie Cafe.
Oh, yeah. Ah, the smoothie
place. See, Ben's got his, I don't know, can I say Miller Lite? Is that,
yeah,
will we be in trouble because we're not being sponsored?
No, that's fine.
Maybe we should be pressured.
No, the internet should know that Ben drinks piss beer. That's fine.
What you got over there? Is your fair? Got any CBD tea brewing?
No, it's 5 p.m. Vic. Dinner is on its way. It is not CBD tea time, although possibly in a couple of hours. No, I am just drinking water right now.
I don't know how CBD works. I haven't gotten there yet. So
it doesn't do much. It's not. If you go into CBD tea with expectations besides taking a nap, you will be sorely disappointed.
Oh, well, okay.
Speaking of being sorely disappointed.
Oh, my gosh, guys.
This episode. Ben, I can only imagine how you felt. I know I was just like,
listeners at home, we are talking about season 3, episode 8 of Shameless, When There's a Will. And wow, these episodes just keep getting worse.
You guys want to tell the viewers at home what the text I sent you guys?
Well, so Vic had seen the episode already. I was the second to watch it. And I think I said something like, Jesus fucking Christ, this episode. Like, this episode's a lot. And then both Vic and I intuitively knew that we may be suffering, but Ben was going to suffer more watching this
episode. I was like,
episode.
Jesus Christ. Ben got anxiety about not paying the electric bill. Shit, dude. This episode.
And so we were both like, Vic, you told him to take a Xanax before he watched it.
Yep.
I almost asked you to just skip this one.
Yeah.
From Ben, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, the great was like, it was just like hours of silence. Like, Ben had gone about his life, started watching the episode. I'm guessing got about 15 minutes in before we got that. Maybe
not
10.
Even.
I don't remember when stuff happens.
I was curious
yes, we asked what set that off.
It was my mind. It was the
motherfucking?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literal motherfucking.
But also just,
oh my God.
Oh, hey, we're losing the house now? Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So this episode, we open in media funeral.
We're at Roofies. I don't know if you caught the name of this bar behind them.
Oh, I did not. Oh, God. We open in media street funeral.
Yeah, and we find out that, what was the aunt's name?
Aunt Ginger?
Aunt Ginger was the Nancy Reagan of Chicago. And her son, Patrick, is saying he's got a will that says the house is his, which I'm going to say last time on, we find out that Frank had stolen the house. And so while this will is a fake, he's thinking I stole it first, which means I stole it fair and square. my fake mm-hmm. will happened first.
Apparently, there were a couple of fake wills in this episode. So, yeah. Yeah, I was going to say last time on, there is no Aunt Ginger, that it was all a fraud that Frank cooked up to be able to get the house. And they found, like, because they said, they mentioned something about faking Aunt Ginger's death.
Yes.
So I'm guessing mm-hmm. they just grabbed some woman at the old folks home that Fiona works at sometimes, who's like lost her identity, and just like grabbed her hand to make her sign some papers. And became Aunt Ginger all of a sudden.
Yeah, it sounds like Aunt Ginger's been dead for a while in actuality. Yeah. And that Frank had been collecting her social security checks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Then.
But yeah.
Then.
We then, get to Kevin and Victoria.
Yep. Veronica.
Or Veronica.
They want a baby, mm-hmm. and V's mom is involved in this. Ben, what happened to her?
Oh, that is so mean.
What the hell happened?
Can't explain.
But I got the van.
Well, thanks to, I'm going to say, what happened on her is that in her dispensing of I'm not a doctor doctoring,
mm-hmm.
Veronica accidentally got stuck with a used needle, which has made Ooh. Her now have some sort of infectious communicative, like, if I have a child, they will have this disease.
Ouch. Yeah.
And so they want to have a kid, but she doesn't want to send a kid into the world already down and out with monkeypox or whatever. And so, okay, well, we can't afford surrogacy, so we have to do it the old-fashioned way. Well, who's the person who can have a baby closest to Veronica? Veronica's mom. And we can't afford to go to a lab and do it the new-fashioned way. We can just do it the old-fashioned way. And
yeah.
You've suffered enough. Thank you, Ben.
So, monkeypox. It's all because of the monkeypox.
I was guessing it was because Ethel is missing from this episode. And previously, yes. Kevin had mentioned that Veronica was getting big mama bear vibes from taking care of Ethel. So I'm going to say last time on, Ethel and Mikhail,
Malik.
I think it was, or Malik. Malik, yeah. Malik got inducted into Ethel's cult. And they ran away together. They're off grid somewhere. They don't know where it is. And Veronica's like gotten the feels, gotten the mama bear vibes going on, and that's why they want to have a baby. You know, this reminds me of something I read a long time ago about, there was a guy who, I don't remember if this was in Wired or where I read this, but he was friends with a lesbian couple who, and they wanted to have a baby, and they were such good friends, like lifetime friends growing up together, so they wanted him to be the sperm donor. So
you said Wired and not Hustler, right?
Man, I never read Hustler, I would never pay for Hustler, okay?
Fair.
Anyway, but the point of the whole thing was the lesbian couple agreed to pay for the lab fees or whatever. I don't know how it works. Either way, the point of the story was this guy was like, some guys out there feel like that they couldn't even get laid if they were the last woman, they were the last man on earth, whatever. We're like, well, here I have proof. This woman paid $9,000 not to have sex with me.
So it is revealed they have a series of sessions to do this the old-fashioned way. And my notes are just WTF, WTF, WTF. But one thing we do notice in this scene is Kevin has a cast and a cane.
Yes.
So I feel like turnabout's fair play. Jafar? Well, hop on her.
Oh, he's getting off easy with this.
Yeah. Like Kevin.
Who is... Yeah, not getting off, actually.
Yeah, several times.
Seems to... Several times. No, so Kevin has clearly been injured, right? It is a leg injury that happened not immediately. Is he in a cast? I didn't think he was in a cast.
He's in a boot.
cane.
He's in a boot.
He's got a boot in it, and he has a walking stick.
Yeah. So Kevin, we'll say Kevin broke his foot. What's a good possibility? It's definitely Frank's fault.
Yeah.
We're going to say Frank heard that some people hide money under floorboards, and Frank was searching under the floorboards at the alibi and didn't secure one properly. And so Kevin like put his foot through a floorboard and fucked up his foot real bad.
I can see that.
That seems plausible.
Mm-hmm. Kevin also feels like the kind of guy where it's like, you put on Enter the Dragon, he's going to throw a couple of spin kicks and accidentally kick something. My cousin Jason once totally messed up his ankle that way. We were watching the original 1990s Mortal Kombat. Yeah. And he was just like, hoo-ha-ha, and he kicked the recline lever on a old recliner, and he was hobbled for a while.
All right. Well, after this, we cut to the house. Frank is currently allowed over to help the family brainstorm as they figure out how to deal with Patrick. Ginger's been dead for a while, so they come up with a list of things, ways to either overturn the will or to get Patrick to lay off.
Unlike Frank's idea of steal all the copper and get out.
Yeah.
It's funny, I actually thought he was going to have some actual really good advice there when he said, guys, what do we do here? We take the copper pipes.
Now, we do see one thing, very important thing. Steve's back from the burn ward.
Steve was actually in the funeral earlier.
Yeah.
And Fiona is now the guardian of all the kids.
Yes.
Oh, yes, the legal guardian. Poor girl.
Yes, no more tax break for Frank. So Lip gets put in charge of figuring out how to lawyer things. And Steve seems real invested in the family here. He says things like, we. Mm-hmm. Mandy, we find out, is still around. When Ian grabs Lip and brings him outside to talk to Karen, who we find out was almost human trafficked.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yep.
No baby, no Jody. Just Karen.
Yep.
And that's the least offensive thing about this episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Over at Sheila's, Karen is getting her old room back together. Jody is still there.
Yep.
That's odd. I didn't think we were ever going to see Jody again, but he's still here apparently.
Was that one of my predictions last episode? One of my Hank, Adam, and Ethel? No, I did not predict we would not see Jody again. So
Hank, Adam, which one was Adam?
Adam was the other, not Steve.
Yes. Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So far, so good. Jafar, good call there. I totally would have said I was not expecting to ever see Chody again.
Well, Chody is recovering from sex addiction, it's implied.
Seems like.
I was going to say last time on, since we know that Chody was found in a cryo capsule behind the alibi. He's getting used to the 21st century, right? And he discovered internet porn. And that was that became his addiction. Like, oh my God, this stuff is amazing. I can get it for free. So yeah, he sees Karen and he tells Karen, please put some pants on. She's just in shorts.
We do get an interesting bit here. We find out that Karen had her baby named Jaime. And the baby has been adopted by the Wongs.
Yes.
And then we get a great scene, a scene I liked very much, where Sheila kicks Frank out. And this was the highlight of the episode for me. We also, in the last scene, had a bit where Steve finds out how much a barista makes. And he's like, she makes $20,000 a month. No, a year. How do people live like that? It's like, tell me about it. As a former barista, tell me about it.
Yep. Oof. Fiona and V get the kids ready for school. Debbie has borrowed an outfit from Mandy that is not appropriate. And a knock on the door is answered by Philip to find Patrick and Sons, who are ready to get to work on flipping this house.
All right. And I want you guys right now, I don't know if you can read this.
Not really. I hate this.
Learn something.
No, right here.
Deb, a horrible outfit.
No, what I'm pointing at.
Carl is going to murder Patrick. Yes.
Yeah, he...
I called it,
man.
Yep.
The actor, the young actor that they got to play Carl, man, he nails it. He looks exactly like the kid you see in the paper under mugshots at the gas station.
Yeah, he is the neighbor who does not have... You can't find anybody on the local news to be like, but he was such a nice guy. No one saw this coming. This is the,
You saw this coming.
Everyone saw this coming. What I didn't see coming is the next scene.
No!
Which is Sheila, Jody, and Karen at a support group for ASD. Which is autism spectrum disorder.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
All right, guys, let's get this over with.
I thought it was for Down syndrome.
Yeah, those are, one is a more encompassing term.
Oh, okay.
Than the other.
I didn't realize, because it seemed to be focused. I didn't realize. Okay.
I mean, it might be. I do not have the details on how specific the support group is. And the terminology used to refer to it at the show is not helpful in identifying that.
No, it is not.
So, yeah, we know that, as mentioned, Karen's child has been diagnosed. And there's a lot of stuff in this scene that we're not going to say.
I was wondering how we were going to handle this. It was very uncomfortable.
Obliquely, there's a lot of our word, I can say it, and you can't. And that sums up the scene and the pertinent plot points in it.
It is about reclaiming the R word, and it leads to some very awkwardly humorous and then just awkward interactions.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know...
I mean, they want to reclaim the word.
Well, no. I
can't say it, so I won't.
Normies don't get a say. That's,
yeah.
Yep.
The only bright spot is my wife, Glorianne, was in the room, and she's like, hey, they employed a lot of actors with Down syndrome in this scene. That's nice.
You're true. 100%.
Yeah.
Silver lining.
I very much had to just remember. It's like, you know, because I was thinking, I'm like, you know what? I am 100% supportive of anyone who wants to reclaim, but then I had to read back. I'm like, wait a minute, this is just a TV show. They're playing this just for laughs.
Somebody wrote this scene, probably.
Yeah. So it's, although I did like that Jody was drinking a Capri Sun there during the meeting.
We then get to possibly more uncomfortable scene.
Oh boy,
as we have the cleaning
Fiona
crew,
Steve,
cleaning out a sluice bucket at a slaughterhouse. Where it is also revealed that not only are they dealing with butchery goo, there's roaches and flies, and hey, they're going to get inside your gloves, they're going to get inside your waders, and we find out that they really, really like all that scar tissue, because they really like Steve.
I meant to Google this, but I don't know if it's a real thing. Fiona had mentioned that they needed help with an effluent tank that overflowed.
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yes.
I don't know what an effluent, I've never heard that term before.
Affluent. And affluent.
Affluent.
Yes.
So we've got an affluent Steve and an effluent tank.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I'm like, oh, so it's a rich tank? What the heck? It's an effluent tank. Okay, it's a type of septic tank.
Yep, it is a liquid waste or sewage discharge.
So Frank's in AA, court mandated, and his meeting wraps up.
Which, your turn, Vic. We'll hop on her.
Oh, shit.
How did Frank end up in AA?
Well, that's... Well, court ordered.
Yeah, but what did he get arrested for?
They do tell us.
What did he get arrested for? Okay, I'm going to say it was public nudity. He was just supremely drunk. Got into a bar fight with one of the guys there at the Alibi. And they took it outside. And Frank just got the crap beat out of him. and to further humiliate Frank, whoever he was in a fight with, stole all his clothes, and Frank was all just like, you know what? It's a nice day out. I'm just going to fall asleep here on this park bench, because he was just that drunk, and he wakes up just butt-ass naked on the park bench in handcuffs. Actually, no. Cops wouldn't do that. They wouldn't want to deal with the drunk, naked guy. They probably were just like, come on, dude, knock it off, and then Frank got belligerent, then fought the cop. And the cop was all just like, oh, God damn it. Fine, I'm taking you in.
That makes sense.
I can absolutely see it.
Frank says he's 2 years sober at this meeting, despite him talking about going to AA while drinking a beer in an earlier scene. And he's trying to work on a new living situation here with Christopher after Christopher asks about being his sponsor.
Yep.
We cut back over to Steve and Fiona. Steve has cockroaches in his glove. And he said something that just really made me stop and go, wow, Steve, you're a piece of shit. More than anything else that's happened from any other word from anyone on this show. Steve goes, this is not a job that people who speak English as their first language should be doing.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Steve.
Holy damn, Goku. Fuck, Steve.
Yeah. Damn, Goku.
God
fuck.
Damn.
We also have to wonder here. Steve seemed to be doing okay stealing cars, but he's not stealing cars anymore. So I'm going to say last time on, the burns made it so Steve can't drive stick anymore. He can't push the clutch. And all of the nicest cars are stick. So Steve's now out of the game.
There is some reference to Steve relying on mommy and daddy's money.
Yeah.
And he is being followed by a private investigator the entire episode, who he does convince to give him a ride at some point. I think Steve never stole cars. I think that was all a front to try and get with Fiona.
Really?
Oh.
Well, I mean, we did see him steal a car once. I mean,
yes.
Just to impress Fiona at the very least. So that must have happened at least once. I don't remember, Ben, what was your last time on about the burns or whatever?
That's why Steve disappeared, is because they lit him on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. I was going to say that he disappeared because the rival car thief gang ran him out, but that he cut a deal. He turned over all the money he made boosting cars to the car thief gang boss, probably played by Christopher Eccleston. I really hope that would be amazing. Mm-hmm. But on the condition that he stay out of the car thieving business. And that's who the guy is. I don't think he's a private investigator. I think he's a goon who belongs to car thieving gang. And that's, he's following around to make sure Goku doesn't pick up his old habit.
All right.
I can't wait for Laura to come in here and tell me I'm 100% right about all my theories.
We also get a interesting...
She had not spoiled anything, but she, when I was recording Who Are You with her the other day, had made mention that she's really looking forward to that as well, Vic. So
awesome.
I just want you to know that.
We also now get an offer from Mandy saying, hey, for $200, my brother's will go beat up Patrick.
Break his legs.
Oh, well, mm-hmm. For $300, they'll do it. For $200 and I sling some meth, they'll also do it. But it's just like, jeez, man. And at this point, they have now put out a hit on their cousin Patrick. And
that reminds me that...
Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Ben.
And this point in the episode, I'm just like, why have they not, like, asked Patrick, hey, can we just rent the house from you? And they try and do that later after they do
after
so
they
much bullshit.
Yeah, probably would have.
Yeah.
That hit cost them some money. I noticed that earlier in the scene, because Mandy's pretty much living there. And in the previous scene where they had the family meeting, they were getting them all ready for school. And Fiona had packed bag lunches for all of them. And she packed one for Mandy, too.
Well, that's because Mandy's still in high school.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. As we find out.
And apparently Lip is.
Yep,
as
Lip
well.
Is still in high school as well.
So, anyways, Steve gets a job as a barista, of course. At this point, it becomes clear that Carl is going to kill Patrick, but they settle for Mandy's brothers going to beat him up. Let's see.
And we find out that Mandy's brother successful. is the dude we saw last episode who was hanging out under the bridge shooting shit.
Oh, I missed that. That's fun.
Yeah, that was the same guy who had the Osama bin Laden homemade cardboard cutouts. He had some DIY.
So, Vic, I have to ask, because you've been around guns as a member of the military. I worked at a shooting range after 9/11. Okay. And I imagine you would have been given your age and when people usually enlist in the military and the length of your time there, that you would have been around guns shortly after 9/11 in a military context as well. Is that safe to assume?
Within a year-ish, yeah. I joined in 2002, but yeah.
Yeah, that's when I was working at the shooting range. It was like 2003, I think I started. So we sold these targets. Like,
oh, really?
Bin Laden targets, yeah. Like, they were just part of the store that we had on site where you could buy ammo and stuff. Did you ever see any of these before?
Not targets like that. They had poker cards. That was the real thing that had, like, the king of spades was Osama bin Laden, and they had, like, all the his lieutenants. And
yeah,
it was like the CIA's and FBI's top 10 most wanted ISIS and terror. Well, this was before ISIS, so
yeah, Al-Qaeda.
But yeah, I know what you're talking about. I had something similar.
I've seen the same things, but with everybody, all the top people from Iraq.
Yeah, they come to remove the toilets after the unsuccessful hit. Go ahead, Ben. Sorry.
Okay. We also have a bit here where Fiona is like, all right, you guys handle all of this stuff. I'm going over to Veronica's.
Oh, God.
And
oh, my God.
And I just, my notes are, oh, no. WTF, WTF, WTF.
Bad timing.
Yeah, Fiona goes over with a box of wine and.
Also, like, their friendship is way too close. If she's like, hey, I hear sex noises coming from the bedroom, I'll just come chill for a little bit while my two friends finish up, and then we'll drink a box of wine.
oh, man.
At least wait downstairs.
Yeah. You live next door. Just be like, I'll circle back around in 10.
Yep.
Fiona walks in on some motherfucking.
I'm the mother flippin'.
Steve relives his bad memories as hot steam burns his hands at his barista job.
Been there.
Right. Flashbacks.
You don't put the new guy on the espresso machine.
On the steamer, yeah. Seems like a mistake. An old friend from med school shows up and talks about some of them grabbing dinner. Fiona and Lip find an apartment as Carl poisons Patrick.
But this friend from med school calls Steve Jimmy.
Yes.
So
I did not catch that.
Yeah. And Goku's fucking bullshitting lying skills. Everyone's lying in this episode. That's what made me the most uncomfortable. Like, all the fucking lies being told left and right. But yeah, he just completely bullshits a story to his med school friend about how he's taking a job as a management trainee so he can buy the franchise of this chain of coffee shops, which I think Coffee Beanery was an actual coffee shop.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
Yeah.
I am surprised they allowed their logo to be shown in this episode.
Well, I'm sure Starbucks didn't, and they needed to do anything they could to be relevant.
This friend, like, does not read the room where he's just like,
no.
Oh, hey, you know, our other buddy's a radiologist. This other guy's a cardiologist. I see you working the milk frother. Why don't you come and get lunch with or dinner with us? It'll be a good time. It's just like, Steve tries to be like, hey, nah, man, I can't. He's like, no, you really got to. And it's like, read the room, man. You're a doctor. Like, your friend is not buying this place. He's a barista. Mm-hmm. And as a former barista, I can tell you, I could not have afforded this dinner.
Well, I don't know, man. I have a problem. My bullshit meter detector doesn't work too well sometimes either. I've got a problem, like, believing people sometimes. So maybe this guy has the same thing. So,
So Fiona and Lip find an apartment they can possibly move into.
A crack den.
That is somehow worse than the house they currently live in, which is impressive.
Carl poisons Patrick with some rat poison. Sheila has a setup outside of a market. We're not going to talk about it.
Just gloss over that.
Frank gets to Chris's and starts hunting for hidden booze.
Listeners at home, you can just watch this episode to see what we're talking about here that we're glossing over.
In fact, listener, I would recommend not watching this episode of Shameless. If I had the choice, I would not have watched. Like, if I had perfect knowledge, If I was
if you had perfect knowledge, you would have picked Viper, wouldn't you, Fair?
If I had perfect knowledge, I wouldn't be able to do this podcast. But if I had known this episode, like if I had rolled the dice, seen this episode, and like Beth had walked in and been like, "You're gonna watch that one," I probably would have just fudged the roll immediately and gone one up or down.
I can tell you guys, this episode undid a couple of therapy sessions.
Sorry, Ben. That's not what we're trying to do here on Last Time On.
It's okay. But we also get a bit here where it seems like Carl is too nice or Chris is too nice. And I'm just wondering, mm-hmm. like, what's the other Hugh going to be? Oh, yeah. Like, clearly a nice person cannot survive being around a Gallagher.
Yeah. Yeah.
We then have...
We find out what Chris's occupation is, which he says he works as a veterinary tech for the city, and he likes to bring home rescues, and he's got a collection of
taxidermied.
He's got some stuffed animals that came from
and
the
what kind
city
of rest. Sick monster would have a stuffed animal in their house? Maybe in the background of their camera right now.
Yeah, but
that's exactly what I was thinking. I was trying to find a way.
Hennessy was never a real dog, Ben.
How dare you?
There's a big difference. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I just ruin your childhood?
I got him in college, man. I've had him for almost 20 years.
What kind of? I can only see the butt of Hennessy back there. What kind of dog is he? Is he Ben? Yeah. Bring him up to the camera. This is a great episode. Oh, he's a Pibble. Oh, what a good boy. That's a good boy.
So here's Hennessy. He's a Rottweiler. Boy. Also, when I named him, I did not know Hennessy was a type of liquor. I'll post a picture of Hennessy on the Discord.
Yeah. He's a good boy.
Join the Discord. Join the listener lounge. Password, what happened to her? Anyways, so the family confers with each other over Carl's poisoning. We get the scene where we see Karen and Mandy still in school.
Hoy.
And then we learn Chris's secret. He's not an alcoholic.
Nope.
He goes to AA to make friends.
Because people have to be there.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a real thing, though. The people do go to AA. But funny thing is, from the people who do that, who just go to AA just to make friends, they don't lie about it. In some cases, anyway. They just show up and say, "Oh, yeah, I've been sober for a while now. I'm just here to be here and help support you guys."
I mean, that's better than there are people in similar situations where it's just they need somebody to talk to. Not great mm-hmm. when you choose to make that a retail representative's job.
Yeah,
I'm trying. You know, that is a thing I learned in both like my retail work and then in my food service work. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it's just lonely people who want to talk and I don't have enough time to watch TV, let alone
having done both. Those and also worked in IT service desk call center. Let me tell you, the people who call the help desk
when you can't hang
just
up,
just to, when you can't hang up, and they know.
Yeah. Hey, I'll be honest. I'll confess. When I was younger, in my like early 20s, I looked up some like sex addicts groups to try and go and pick up dates. That like not my proudest moment. I was young. I was stupid. And I also found out that these sex addicts group separate the men and the women. So anyway, FYI.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. Now I get a brand new rock bottom appreciation for Lip, as he is just horrible to Mandy. He is a giant piece of trash to her, where it seems like she moved in and like us like wanted their relationship to be more than Lip wanted it to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems like Karen did a perfect job of manipulating the two of them, knowing that it would destroy their relationship and bring Lip back into her orbit.
Yeah, when she confronted Mandy at school when that scene ended after she said, "Hey, yeah, I just want you two to be happy," and Mandy turns and walks away, the evil, fucking chaotic evil smile crept across Karen's face. I was like, "Oh, you evil little shit." She knew she had just sent a torpedo in the water.
Yep. Before we get that, there's a quick scene at court. Patrick does show up and the house is lost.
Yeah, so he's not dead.
He's not dead. Steve goes to dinner, and V's mom comes over. And I've got to say, go ahead.
I was going to say, at the dinner, we see him at, you know, reminiscing and just pulling a con job. I'm not sure what kind of con job Steve is pulling here. I don't see how this, what could possibly be going on if he's pretending to be a medical student, hanging out with these guys at this really fancy, like, fine dining place. And then he's having a good time. He's laughing. And some girls walk over, and I swear to God, this one of the background extra women who walks up, I swear she looked exactly like Nana Visitor. I had to pause and go back. Yeah, like, go back and see the episode. This
like
girl
a young Nana Visitor?
Exactly. Yeah.
I was just saying, I don't think he could have been faking it. If these are med school friends, like, you.
Yeah, how the fuck?
Yeah.
Do you.
He must have been.
This is his real life. Yeah.
Yeah. This must
There's
have been.
There's no way.
Oh, no. I think he was in med school. My assumption is last time on, Steve comes from a place of privilege. His parents wanted him to go to med school, be a doctor. These are our expectations of you. And Steve is doing a long 20s rebellion where he quit med school and decided to. Oh, I'm going to pretend to be a gangster and boost cars. And oh, now I've fallen for this Fiona girl. And now I'm going to really double down on living on the wrong side of the tracks. And so he threw away all of that old life and now is trying to live again without access to his parents' money.
So after all that, V's mom comes back over. And I've got to say, she has good taste in music. Like, not in what actually plays, because when we cut back over, they're listening to Bruno Mars, which is fucking terrible.
Oh, fucking God.
But she talks about how she just got the new D'Angelo album for their session pending. And this is an album. Like, this is D'Angelo's last album before his most recent one would have been this album, time frame appropriate. And it's a fantastic fucking album.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. D'Angelo's so good.
We then get my second favorite scene in the episode after Frank getting kicked out is Frank has taken a Down syndrome support shirt that only works in its very specific context. And even then, it's iffy. And he thinks they're funny because Frank is a garbage person. And he gets accosted on the street, and a young woman with Down syndrome punches him in the dick. And
punches him right in the dick.
It's great.
Yeah, that was great.
Yep. Lip goes to see Karen. And I'm right now of the mind that they deserve each other.
Yeah.
They're both fucking terrible.
Yeah, they're both terrible.
And then we get in a episode that is mostly about, are a bunch of kids going to end up homeless? The actual saddest scene in the episode. Because Jaime, Karen's baby, is adopted by the Wongs. And Mrs. Wong is coming over to make sure, is this house safe enough for me to trust that the baby can come over here and see his biological mom, his biological grandmother? And Sheila finds out.
I was just going to say, I think that is the actual biological grandmother of Jaime. I got the vibe because she was very protective, and I don't see her being that critical of them unless it was her actual.
Well, they adopted the baby.
No, but I think that's actually
she has
custody of the baby, but I still think that
so
Mrs.
it's not
Wong
Lip's baby. It's
biological.
There's like a Jeff Wong somewhere, you know, with what we now know of Karen, I wouldn't put it past the situation, but we find out Sheila has been just like living for this. She wants to have her grandson in her life and finds out that
really
Karen had gone over there earlier and said that the house was not safe and that she shouldn't let Jaime into their lives.
Yeah.
Karen's been fucking lying to everybody. That's terrible. For me, the lies were the most uncomfortable part of this. It's like, just why? I can't live like that because I have a terrible fucking memory. So I find it easier to just tell the truth to everyone, so that way I don't have to try and remember what I lied about.
It does decrease the mental load. We then also get a bit at back at the alibi, where Frank is bragging about his new roommate, who is like great, and he cooks him dinner, and he lets him watch sports highlights, and he's letting me live there for free. And Kevin is just like, man, he's going to like wear your skin.
He's like, I bet he has hardwood floors. He's like, what does that have to do with anything?
Carpets get blood stains. Yeah, he's just like, Frank, would anybody report you missing? You know, you are exactly the kind of person that would be absolutely fine to disappear. And then we get the eviction scene.
Ugh.
And they find a way to make this scene even more uncomfortable.
We do get a bit at the bar where Kevin warns Frank that Christopher is probably a serial killer.
We just talked about that.
Oh, shit.
Magic of editing, I'll make it work.
I completely tuned out. I shouldn't record Jesus, after work.
Dude. Javier, not only do you not listen to your own podcast, you don't listen to your own podcast.
And there's our after credits bumper. Lovely. All right. Oh, sorry. My brain just did a hard reset, I feel like.
Speaking of hard resets for brains, earlier, I forgot to mention this earlier, but when Veronica's mom shows up and says she brought some candles and some CDs to set the music, to set the mood. Wow. When's the last time you guys actually bought some CDs, like music CDs?
I think the last CD I purchased was probably Taylor Swift's 1989 when it first came out.
Fucking nerd.
I mean, yes, but not for that.
There's plenty more legitimate reasons than
listening to some Tay Tay. I mean, she's like the second best pop star making music right now. So
okay. I mean, sure.
Jafar,
Ben, redeem yourself.
I think I can actually pinpoint this exactly, and it's a fun bit of serendipity, because the last time I bought CDs was the last time I had a car with a CD player. Jafar, when were we doing those Family Dollar rebuilds?
Oh, God. 2012, 13?
Okay. I can't believe it's
that long
ago.
What's a Family Dollar rebuild?
We used to go in and rebuild Family Dollars. It was a horrifying experience.
We did retail merchandising for a number of years.
So we'd take everything, move it all around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Reorganize
stores. Okay, I remember
stores.
You guys mentioning this before at some point.
Well, Family Dollars at the time used to sell CDs, but they were horrible CDs. But
like now,
I made
now
no
that's
money.
What you called music?
No, they were a lot of movie scores. Not movie soundtracks, not the licensed music of the film. This would be the background music of the film. And I bought two because I was doing a lot of driving around and I didn't care what it was. It's just background music. It's literal background music as I'm driving all over Michigan. One of them was Live Free or Die Hard.
Oh, my God.
And the other was Dragon Ball Evolution.
Callback. Nice.
A movie I have never seen, but...
But you know the soundtrack?
The score, not the soundtrack. The if it was a licensed song, it was not on there.
Do you still have the CD, Ben?
No.
I would. Oh, man.
Bet you Amazon does. Ask Daddy Bezos.
No,
Daddy Bezos,
because...
please send me a Dragon Ball Evolution soundtrack. Just like that. But say Alexa first. She likes it when you call her by name.
I was curious about this because I actually recently tried to buy some CDs. I recently got really into Cannons. It was a great band, and like every song I hear from them is just a banger. So I went online to try and they don't. I wanted to buy the actual CDs. Well, they don't have them. You go to Amazon, you can get the vinyl or you can get the MP3 audio. That's it. They don't have CDs anymore. It's like holy shit,
man. I'm so glad that's a band named Cannons and not like variations of Pachelbel.
Oh no, see, I was assuming
he was
about
to judge
just
real hard.
Jamming out to the 1812 Overture.
Boom. Fun fact, I actually was part of the Texas National Guard cannon salute team for a brief period of time. Man, that was fun. That was fucking fun. I got trained in all of the training that is required to operate an artillery piece, except for the aiming part, because we fired blanks. So we got called out for ceremonies and everything. And oh God, that was just great.
I've always thought that that would have been, if I went into the military, something I'd have loved to do is
pull the string, go boom.
No, artillery. Yeah, just like, oh, I get to sit here and do like math. And then that, that building over there disappears. It's offensive math.
Yeah. For me personally, skip the math part, which is great. Cause I'm fucking terrible at math. And I would have ended up blowing up an orphanage or some shit. I'm gonna edit that out because that probably happened a few times.
Frank is hiding from Chris, and Chris knows enough about Frank to find him at the hobo camp.
Yeah. Chris tracks him down. That's wow.
But he seems he comes, you know, clean. He's just like, hey, never an alcoholic, just weird. And Frank is like, I can work with clingy. That's fine.
Yeah,
clingy in exchange for free rent. That's,
I don't know, man.
And then we get the conclusion to our very sad scene where Sheila is just sitting in the dark when Karen comes to get something from the fridge.
Yeah.
And
tells her more lies.
Yeah, and it's just like, no, I just wanted it to be you and me. And it's like, no, you just didn't want to have your son in your life. And you sabotaged your mom having her grandson in her life to do it.
Yep.
That was so fucked up. Yeah. Sad. You know, I gotta say, I think the most unrealistic part of this entire episode was Chicago PD actually doing something useful there.
The most unbelievable thing was police responding to an alleged sexual assault. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we haven't talked about that yet, so let's get into it. The police show up to evict the family, and then Deb comes down and is just like, Cousin Patrick was touching me in my happy places. And they're just like, okay, well, now Patrick's in cuffs. And this bit did make me kind of mad because they're like about to take Patrick away. And he's like, what, you're just going to take me in? He's like, unless they decide not to press charges. And I'm like, that is not how sexual assault of a minor works. The DA presses charges. They don't press charges, which is one of those like things that TV has like misconstrued people about. You can't just show up to the police and say, I want to press charges about this. You don't get to make that call.
This is the same cop from the pilot.
Oh, it is?
So that I'm guessing makes sense. He's a family friend.
Or just knows them and knows if he is as in with them, he knows Frank is gone. This is children raising children. They've got nowhere to go.
Man, I hope Fiona and this cop start dating. And I don't think I was ever going to think that. But honestly, he seems better for her than anyone that we've seen her try to be with.
I mean,
true.
At the very least, maybe a decent human being. Maybe.
All cops may be bees. Oh. But everyone else we met isn't just a bee. They're a piece of shit. So a bastard is like moving up a level.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, that's the episode. We did it,
guys. We got through the episode.
Do you think the next one's going to be worse? Let's find out.
The next one's going to be worse.
Carl actually
kills
somebody.
How.
And Kevin has...
That is a 12, which takes us to season 4, episode 9, The Legend of Bonnie and Carl.
Oh, no.
Do you want to get another prediction in real quick, Ben? Before I read this episode description.
Oh, boy.
Carl connects with a troubled girl. Lip grows close to his roommate's ex-girlfriend. Fiona endures the struggle of job hunting with a criminal record.
Dude, have you guys made your predictions yet?
Yeah.
I've got mine written down. Yeah.
I was going to say, let's have some fun with it real quick. Let's all make a little quick off-the-books prediction of why does Fiona have a criminal record now? what did she do?
I'll tie that into arson already. I'm going to say
arson. I don't get,
I'm going to say so I'll just go through my predictions. My daytime prediction is Mandy gets revenge. And I'm going to say she gets it by planting meth on Lip, and Fiona says it's hers so that Lip doesn't go to prison.
That seems like a very Fiona thing to do that fits in her mm-hmm. character.
So that is my daytime prediction. My evening prediction is our main Gallaghers end up briefly teaming up with Patrick to screw over somebody else. So okay. It's if you've ever heard that phrase, me against my brothers, me and my brothers against my cousins, me and my cousins against the world. That is like, oh, we'll fight each other unless we can collectively stick it to somebody else. And I'm going to say prime time. Steve leaves to rejoin the bourgeoisie briefly.
The bourgeoisie.
So he does eventually come back after taking a hiatus to rejoin the bourgeoisie.
Okay.
Does that mean
rich? The upper class?
I know what bougie yeah. means.
Well, okay. It's actually the middle class, yeah. but it's been misappropriated days. For the last 100 years, so whatever.
All right, I got three more predictions, just like last time. I've got three characters that we are never going to see again. They might be in other episodes outside of what we watch, but we have seen the last of these characters. Daytime, we never see Christopher again. Seems like a safe bet that by the time we're halfway through season 4, Frank will fuck that up. Evening, we never see Patrick again. And my primetime prediction, we never see Karen again.
Hmm. Oh, dude, that's kind of quick. Yeah, we're only going into season 4, but okay.
I have a feeling this show chews through actors for a myriad of reasons, so we'll see.
Real quick, before I get into mine, I want to go over my first episode predictions to see if they're still on track. My very first prediction of the season was that in every single episode, we're going to see crime, violence, and nudity. So for crime, we're checking that off. We got attempted murder.
Yes. Yep.
Violence, almost didn't get it, but thank you to the random Brothers. Passerby. Who, oh, that too. Yeah.
Oh, and Frank getting punched
Frank
in the dick.
Punched in the dick. Yes. And nudity, guys. Was there any nudity this episode? I'm not sure.
There was implied nudity.
Oh no. We got Frank's cheeks right in the middle of the camera when Fiona, not Frank, Kevin.
Kevin's
oh yeah.
Yeah.
So yep. Still on track for my original predictions. Okay, so far no confirmation on someone peeing where they shouldn't. Haven't had that happen yet. Haven't had anyone in jail yet, surprisingly, and still haven't had anyone hit by a car. Although I'm going to say Fiona probably went to jail for hitting Steve with a car. That's what I think she did.
Plausible.
So my daytime prediction is eventually we're going to see the Gallaghers in a different house. They're going to lose that house, and the show is going to take place in a different house. My evening prediction, Ian joins the Marines eventually. He completes his ROTC, graduates high school, and joins the Marines, and he gets kicked out.
Mm-hmm. Kicked out of the Marines.
But for a bonus point, bonus point, not for being gay. It's going to be for something absurd. I don't know what yet. We'll figure something out. But yeah. And crap, I didn't make a primetime. Primetime prediction, let me think. Primetime prediction, Veronica has a baby.
Okay. All right. Well, with all of that, we know what we'll be talking about, what episode we're talking about next week. But before we get there, we've got to say thank you. Thank you, Ripe, for our lovely theme song that we love so much, Goon Squad.
And thank you to you, the listener. We do this for you. You're the reason we keep coming back. And if you enjoy our podcast, please leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or Facebook, and we will give you a shout out here on the show. And if you don't like our podcast, just keep that shit to yourself.
And feel free to join us over at the Last Time On Listener Lounge over on Facebook, and join our What Happened Here Productions Discord, where you can come in and chat with us and share memes. And remember, the password to getting into the Listener Lounge is Wahabahar.
Wahabahar.
And we will see you next time on Last Time On.